can open to John chapter 11. As you're moving there, I'm just going to open this in prayer, and then we're going to get into the Word together. Father God, I thank you so much for this morning, Lord. I thank you for your presence that's here, pardon me. I thank you for touching those who needed a touch. Father, I pray that through the Word this morning, that you would continue to touch hearts.
Yes.
That your Spirit would speak. And Lord, even as Roger shared, that there's freedom in truth. So I pray this morning that there would be some hearts that would be set free by truth declared this morning.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Bless your word. In Jesus' name.
Bless your word. Amen.
So, John 11, and I'm going to read a pretty big chunk of this morning. I'm not going to read all of John 11, but I'm going to read to verse 46. And I think that there's great significance for Harmony Church and for us this morning in John 11. But before I get into that, I want to share how this message kind of came about for me. And this message kind of came about in a, I guess you could say, a negative way that became a positive. But there was an incident that happened in my life and really my wife's life that had a pretty profound impact on both of us. And many of you know that my beautiful wife had a miscarriage. The first time when we got pregnant, we were pretty excited, and I always wanted to be a dad. I don't know what it was, but for whatever reason, there was something in me that just longed to be a dad. And I remember whenever I was first started dating Candace, she had an ambition at the time to be a doctor, and that meant a lot of schooling. And I was very supportive of her, and I said, you know what, I'll totally walk with you through however much schooling you need and whatever you need to do. And she's like, you realize that's 5 to 6 years where, you know, after marriage, there really won't be any children involved. And I actually went away after that conversation and I cried because I thought, man, I really wanted to be a dad before then. But God kind of, he moved in Candace's heart and life, and she shifted her direction a bit, and then we came to the place where we wanted to have a child, both of us, and we were both excited about it, and we got the great, amazing news that this baby was on the way. And then one night, it kind of came crashing down. She was rushed to the hospital, and lost her. And that was a tough time. And anybody who has lost a child through miscarriage, through anything really, my heart goes out to you. It's a painful thing. And in that moment, I remember actually thinking, I need to be strong for my wife. I need to be strong because she needs somebody to, she needs a rock to hold on to. So in that vein, I tried, in a sense, to suppress my emotion and try to be a rock for her, but I became cold. And as the weeks following weeks came up, she really needed somebody. She needed somebody to comfort her and encourage her. But I really didn't do much of it because I was trying to be strong, and it ended up just being cold. And I didn't want to deal with the emotion of that whole incident, so I just kind of set it to the side and closed it off. But what happened was God wasn't going to let me stay there. God doesn't like us to bury things. He wants us to bring them out. So one evening I was by myself and I was at home and I began to watch a video of this testimony of a family that God had brought back together. Originally, they had been separated, and they had this little beautiful girl. And God restored this family, and I was watching this really neat video of how God had restored this family, and the camera flashed to this little girl, and she just lit up the screen with this huge, beautiful smile. And a thought crossed through my mind in that instant. And it was, if your child was a little girl, she would have smiled just like that. And it broke something in me, and I remember I just fell to the floor, and I began to cry, and I began to weep. And I kind of just, everything that I closed up inside from the pain of losing our first child, it just came out, and I just began to weep, and I began to cry, and I began to weep. And something happened to me that was unexpected. And, you know, God, He came down and He met me on that floor. That wasn't unexpected. He wrapped His arms around me, and I could just sense the presence of God in that moment comforting me. But then something happened that was strange to me, is that it was as I could hear and sense Jesus weeping with me. It was as though God had stepped down and just wrapped His arms around me, and He was crying with me. And that to me, like, I'm very theological. I think very theologically. Anytime people speak about God, I immediately am kind of thinking, how is that lining up with Scripture? How is that lining up with the character that God has revealed through us in the Word? But in that moment, I embraced it and I needed it. I needed that comfort in that moment. And afterwards, I thought, could that be true? Could Jesus have been weeping with me? John 11, I think, reveals the answer to that question. But more than that, there's another question that we all have asked of God. There is a question that you have all asked at some point or another. And if you haven't asked it, you know somebody who has asked it. And the question is, how could an all-powerful, all-loving God allow so much suffering and pain? How could He allow so much pain in the world? How could He allow so much suffering? I mean, He's God. He can do anything. Couldn't He just stop it all? Couldn't He stop the genocide instead of Sudan? Those years ago when thousands lost their lives, or recently ISIS, who these terrorists who are taking thousands of lives, couldn't He just stop it? Like, where is God in all of this? Friends, if you talk to people who don't believe in God, they will be quick to ask that question of you. Where is God? And friends, when you go through difficult situations, things that are challenging, sometimes you're tempted to ask the question, where is God? Where is God in this? But I think an important question that we need to answer before we address where is God, or how can God allow this? See, we want to answer that question for people. We do. And, you know, I can go through a list of things. But there's something that's important that we need to address, and that's what I want to talk about this morning. There's a question that we need to address before we answer the question of how or why. It's how does God feel towards the pain in this world? You see, we want to answer the question, but we got to first look at how does God feel about the pain that we experience, or the suffering that we go through. Is God concerned? Does God care? Is His heart, is it breaking for us? Like, where is God? Like, how does He feel about all of this? Let's read John 11 together. And I believe John 11 answers this question for us. Now there was a certain man named Lazarus who was sick. In the village of Mary and her sister Martha, Bethany. It was the Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped His feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. So the sisters sent word to Him, saying, Lord, behold, He whom you love is sick. But when Jesus heard this, he said, this sickness is not to end in death, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it. In verse 5, key verse. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he then stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Stop there for a second. Jesus hears news about his friend, his dear friend whom he loved, as this author, John, describes. He hears about his friend whom he loved being sick. So Mary and Martha, the sister of Lazarus, send word to Jesus, and they're like, Jesus, you need to come. You're a healer. You can lay hands on Lazarus, and he will recover. He'll get better. Jesus, come, please. And John, he says he loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And the word that John uses for this love, it's an agape love. There's 5 different words for love in Scripture, in New Testament, in Greek, that can be used for love. The strongest, most affectionate is agape. So Jesus, he loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus deeply. So they send him, please come lay hands on him. And then it says that Jesus stayed in the place where he was 2 days longer. Why did Jesus wait? Why did he delay? See, sometimes we ask things of God. We send out prayers of desperation and say, God, I need you now. Please, please. And it just seems like time passes. Where are you, Jesus? Where are you? I've been praying, I've been calling for you. Don't you know? Don't you love us? Sometimes there's a delay. And there's a purpose behind it. You see, friends, later in this passage, we find Jesus saying, in response to the miracle of Lazarus being raised from the dead, many of the Jews who came to Mary and saw what he had done, believed in him. And beyond that, there's a significance here that maybe be something we can miss. In that, in the Jewish culture in that time, there was a belief that if someone died, their spirit, it was literally superstition. It wasn't true, but this is what people believed. That when someone died, their spirit would hover around the body for 3 days. But after 3 days, the spirit would leave because it wouldn't recognize their body anymore because of the decay. So there's this weird belief that existed. So if someone came back to life after 2 days, maybe 3 days, there would be a belief that, well, maybe it was the spirit just came back into the body. But if 4 days had passed, well, then there's no hope. No hope whatsoever. And isn't it interesting? In verse 17, it says, so when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. 4 days had passed. In the mind of the Jews, he was gone. There is no hope. It was over. And you'll find evidence of this as we read forward. I'm going to actually start 17 and we're going to read forward. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. Martha, therefore, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him, but Mary stayed at the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give to you. And Jesus says to her, verse 23, your brother will rise again. Martha responds and she says, I know that he'll rise again in the resurrection of the last day. She doesn't understand that Jesus is speaking about it now. She thinks it's, oh yeah, Jesus is going to happen later, I know that. But then Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world." I'm going to stop there. See, Martha, she got Jesus. She understood. She believed that he was the Messiah. But she couldn't believe that he could raise Lazarus from the dead right then. Her faith for Jesus and his ability to raise someone from the dead, it really wasn't there. There was a lack of faith that Martha had. And you see, by Jesus waiting and pausing and literally letting his friend die, there was an opportunity for Jesus to come into the situation and really establish a faith in Mary and Martha and those around that they would not have had if he had just come right away. He comes, he waits, because he wants to grow their faith. Friends, sometimes you will not get the answer that you want right away. And there's a process, this waiting, this delay, and you're frustrated with God. God is at work and he's doing something. He's growing your faith. He's saying, "Will you stand and believe even if the answer doesn't come right away? Will you stand and believe because God answers prayer?"
Amen.
And friends, if you have been praying for a miracle and you have stopped because time has passed, don't do it. Keep praying, keep believing, because God is someone who answers prayer. There's also something interesting about Jesus' response to Martha, and this is a point that I want to make. This is a very practical point for all of us. There are times in our lives when people are going through really painful things that we need to give a Jesus response that he gives to Martha. See, friends, if I can even just use it, it's a Martha response. You see, there are times in life when you will face, you'll come into a situation and somebody is going through something really painful and they need truth. They need hope. They need really the Bible and his life spoken into their heart. There are times when somebody is just so much in despair and discouraged and they're down and you come and you're like, "Listen, God is with you. He is here with you now. You need to speak life into that situation." There are times when people will be discouraged and down, and we as Christians need to be messengers of hope and life, like Jesus was for Martha. I mean, she was down, she was discouraged, and what does Jesus say? "He's going to rise again. He's going to be raised up, Martha." She didn't quite believe him, she didn't get it, but he was speaking truth. But let's move on in the story. Verse 28, when she had said this, she went away and called Mary, her sister, saying secretly, "The teacher is here and he is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and was coming to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and consoling her, when they saw that Mary got up quickly and went out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Therefore, when Mary came where Jesus was, she saw him and fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and was troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said to him, "Lord, come and see." And in verse 35, Jesus wept. And friends, there is a second response that we as Christians, and this is one that I think we do not do enough. You see, Martha, she needed words of life spoken into that situation. Mary, she needed somebody to cry with her. She needed somebody to weep with her. Jesus being the incredible, the all-knowing God, he discerned that Mary, She needed someone to cry with her. You see, there are times in our lives when you will encounter situations when you may be tempted to give that word of encouragement. But friends, what they really need is somebody just maybe to be quiet and to cry with them or to be silent with them. And I want to, from my personal experience, when we first lost our first baby, you know, there were people with good intentions who would come to us and they would try to offer encouragement to us. And honestly, I didn't want to hear it. You know, when people come to you 2 days after you've lost a child, it's going to be okay. Everything's going to be okay. Your baby's in heaven. Everything's fine. It's good. Don't worry. Like, I know that those things are true, but don't say them to me right now. I need somebody just to cry with me. I just need somebody, you know, to give me a hug, you know. And friends, I'm guilty of this. And I was guilty of it in the beginning processes with my wife. When she needed somebody to just cry with her, I'm just telling her, oh, it's okay, Kate. It's like, you know, our baby's in heaven. Like, I believe that. She didn't need to hear that then. We can be very well intentioned in our encouragement and our desire to comfort. But sometimes it does the opposite. You see, we want to give a Martha response when they need a Mary. They need a Mary response. Beyond this, it also reveals something powerful. It reveals the heart of God towards those who suffer. You see, friends, it says in verse 33 that he was deeply moved in spirit and was troubled. And the actual Greek there that speaks about being deeply moved in spirit, the Greek word that's used there has everywhere else that it's used, the tone is anger. And it's actually more appropriate that idea of being deeply moved is that he was angry. That Jesus was angered and he was troubled. He sees Mary, whom he loved, crying, weeping. He sees the Jews weeping. And, you know, the Jews that were there with her, there was a lot of hypocrisy in that because there was higher Jews that would come and really just weep with those who had lost people. They were literally hired hands. They were fake. And they were just weeping. And the more that someone weeps, the more literally it brought honor to those that had passed. So could there be, in a sense, Jesus being angered at the hypocrisy of the Jews? There's a possibility. But I think it was something beyond that. And it was that Jesus, when he saw what death had brought. You see, when Jesus saw the pain and the sorrow that death had brought into the world, he was angered. And he was troubled. And it caused him to weep. You see, friends, maybe you've experienced this emotion yourself. I know there was an incident a couple of years ago when I heard the news that my Aunt Judy, who was just an incredible saint and just loved the Lord. And I got news from my sister that she was about to go home with Jesus. And for whatever reason, an anger rose up in me. Because I knew she wasn't ready to go yet. There were still things that she wanted to do. She wanted to spend time with her grandson. She wanted to just say goodbye to her two daughters. She needed just more time. And I just felt angry. Because death was going to steal her life. So I went outside and I prayed. And I was angry and I prayed angrily. And I said, God, please give Judy more time. And I literally went out in the snow. It was like so heavy. And I was freezing and I was angry. And I just prayed in these kinds of violent, faith-filled prayers. That God, that you would give Judy more time. And he did. But the thing about that reminds me of this incident is that Jesus was angered because death, sin, what it had brought into the world, the pain that he was seeing in the ones that he loved, he was angered by them. He was He was broken, and he cried, he wept. He was moved from within. But I want to stop here, and I want to point something out. And this is almost, this is interesting because Jesus knew that he was about to raise Lazarus from the dead. Jesus knew that he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead, and yet he still weeps with Mary. He knew that this situation, all the weeping, all the mourning, all the grief, it was going to be turned into rejoicing. I mean, earlier Jesus says he's going to rise again. Now, I'm going to raise him up. This sickness will not be the end of him. So Jesus, knowing that he's going to raise Lazarus from the dead, he sees the pain in Mary, the grief that has been caused by death, and it breaks his heart. And I literally just see Jesus in his arms around Mary, weeping with her. When I was on that floor and I was crying for the loss of my little one, Jesus wrapped his arms around me and wept with me, even though my little baby was in his arms. Like, Jesus could have come down and said to me, Dan, your little one, I got it. You're right here. You're safe. It's okay. But he didn't do that. He did it later. But in that moment, he just cried. The heart of God towards suffering is that he cares. That it breaks his heart to see those he loves in pain. Those that you all have been through things, hurtful things, painful things, lost loved ones. And you may ask God, why did this happen? But understand, before you ask that, know that he's right there with you. He's got your hand. He's Christ with you. Believe that. I believe Scripture reveals that for us. There's something beyond that that to me really speaks about how awesome our God is. You see, it could have been enough that the God of the universe would look down and see the pain of his children and be broken about it and have a heart full of compassion. And just, you know, that's who God is. I mean, he mourns for us, he cares about us, and he sees the pain that you're in. But it wasn't enough that he would just be up in heaven and that his heart would be moved by the pain of his children. No, he stepped down into it. He stepped down out of heaven and became a man. And he walked the earth experiencing all the same types of pain that we have been in. The same types of rejection, the loss of loved ones, all the things that we experienced in life, he faced it. So that he could be one who says, I understand. I've walked in your shoes. I know. I know. Friends, we serve God who wasn't enough to just be compassionate. He stepped into it for us, with us. He is the great high priest. Hebrews 4, verse 15 says this, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Friends, Jesus, he loved us so much that he wanted to know just how it felt. Just how it would be for us to experience the loss of loved ones, to experience the pain of rejection, the loneliness, the isolation. All these things he went through so that he could better relate with you. You see, Jesus' mission to earth, it wasn't just a rescue mission. It was also a mission so that he would understand us like nobody else could. That he could relate with us, that he could walk with us. Whatever you have been through, Christ has been through it too. He's faced it. And yet he didn't sin. He was perfection. And he rose from the dead. He overcame sin and death. He is now in glory. And that gives us hope that when you're facing something, that He can walk with you through it. That He holds your hand in the midst of the pain, and He wants to walk with you through it to the other side. That's the God we serve. That is who we've given our lives to. So friends, if I can just recap real quick, because I believe it's important. The first thing is that there's purpose in delay. Sometimes you're wondering, why is God not answering my prayer? God will answer your prayer, but trust in His timing. He's growing your faith. He's maturing you. And second, when you want to comfort someone, you want to encourage people, remember that there's times for a Martha response, and there's times for a Mary. There's times when you just need to cry with people, be quiet with people. And there's times when you need to speak truth. You need to speak life. And again, lastly, the heart of God is moved by our suffering. It is deeply moved by the pain that we have faced and that we walk through. He is not in heaven unconcerned, uncaring. No. He cares deeply. His spirit is grieved and moved by the pain that we face. And beyond that, it wasn't just enough that He stepped into it so that He could walk with us and relate with us. And if I could just share just the last story in close. There was a story that I actually read about a man who heard about a family. It was a pastor of a church. And a family had lost their son to suicide. And he was on his way to the hospital, this pastor. And if you're ever in a situation like that, I'm sure Pastor Bruce has been in that situation. What do you say to a family that has lost their son to suicide? And he went, he didn't know what to say, so he didn't say anything. He went and just wrapped his arms around the family and just cried. And that family later said the most encouraging thing, the most comforting thing for them in the following days after their son suicide, so that pastor didn't say a word, cried with him. And that is the heart of God for us. Please understand. Please know that. That is God's heart. That He loves us, that He cares for us, and that He cries with us. Father, I thank You so much for Your word. I thank You for the fact that You are not up in heaven, unconcerned or uncaring about what's going on. God, that you love us deeply. You care about us beyond anything that we could ever understand. So much that You would step down and actually walk in it with us. That Your heart for us is so big. That the God of the universe who painted the skies, who spoke everything into existence, would care enough for a sinner like me to kneel down on the wooden floor and cry with me. God, You are so good. And Lord, I believe that there's here somebody this morning that is walking through something painful. Something deep. And Lord, I pray that You would encourage them with this from Your word, that You know them, You see them. Thank You, God, for caring, for loving us. Thank You, Jesus.